Inside the bulletin are our notes this morning. You can follow along with our message, some scripture, fill in the blanks, and you can follow along with the message today. Memorial Day, thinking about what this day is all about, remembering and reflecting. And that's what I want to bring you a message today, a message to really get you thinking, a message to really reflect on and chew on, hopefully something that drives your thoughts, your prayers as you leave here today. I want to bring you a message called, I got two titles this morning, in honor of the over 30, under 30 softball game. I have two titles. First title is for those over the age of 30, called Live Your Dash. That's our official title. If you're under the age of 30, I have another title, and it's called YOLO. Go ahead. There it is. So what are you doing with it? If you don't know what YOLO stands for, it means you're over 30, all right? Under 30s, you only live once. And so today, I want to challenge us with this thought about living your dash. There's a moment you're born, and then there's a date when you die. And in between on the tombstone is a dash. Today, I want to challenge you to reflect on what your dash is going to be filled with. To live your dash. It's a sermon about death, but a sermon about life. And maybe you came here and you're like, oh, great, pastor's going to preach about death. Wait, just what I needed to be encouraged about. But how many know unless Jesus comes back, there's a 100% chance that we face death, right? I mean, so let's talk about it. There should be subjects in the Word of God that we talk about that maybe not the best, most shouting kind of message, but the fact of the matter is, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity. How many teachers are thankful the season is now summer? Right? How many students thankful? All right? So there is a season for everything. A time to be born and, there's our dash, a time to die. The in-between, to live your dash, is what I want to bring to you today. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. So we all have that end date. But there is hope there, verse 28. So Christ came to sacrifice once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. How many are waiting for that day? Looking for it. How many are okay if it's today? Yes, Jesus, come back. So today, I want you to think about your dash. I want you to reflect on the born, the die, the what's in between. How will you be remembered? A couple questions I want to ask you here at the beginning. Thinking about your life right now, your dash, how will you be remembered up to this moment right now? How will you be remembered? What will be said about you as a mom, as a husband, as a grandpa, as a worker, as a Christian, as a son, as a daughter? How will you be remembered up till right now? You see, some in the last year have lost a loved one, and you've been through that process of how they will be remembered. There's two such funerals recently that I told you funerals impact me, and ever since I was a kid, some kids might sleep through funerals, but I've always been motivated or challenged or reflected through any funeral. Sometimes I attend a funeral and I don't even know the person, but just to hear how they're described, how they're remembered, has always been so challenging to me and encouraging. Two funerals recently that impact me was Katie Jean Dickey, our missionary that such a loved member of our church family, passed away this year. And here's how she's remembered. It's easy. Life after life that was changed. This is her African stories and so many lives that were changed by her and leading that funeral and talking to so many impacted by her. She lived her dash fully, didn't she? She left a legacy, an impact, and she lived a dash that is still being affected by hundreds, maybe thousands of converts around the world that are now going on and making a difference in other people's lives. And then another funeral I attended this month was Luis Solano. He was in our youth group, and he was in his 20s and about to graduate as a rocket scientist, space engineering, and he was a filmmaker, so talented, produced films for causes and to open people's eyes about things, so incredibly talented. But it on a few Sundays ago, I think maybe 3 Sundays ago, taking a friend to the airport. He was killed by a drunk driver, and I drove into Dallas for that funeral and was around a lot of our old youth ministry kids and sharing memories, and just so impacted again by how will you be remembered. For those that have passed away, the question is, how will you be remembered? It's already happened. The dash has been lived. The final date has been placed on. But for you and I, we have another question to ask. How will you be remembered up until this moment? But here's the good news. The dash, how many know it's not over yet? You're still breathing. You're still alive. You still have the opportunity to ask a second question. How do you want to be remembered? You have the opportunity to leave here and to begin to create a life, a dash, living that dash so that you can be remembered how you want to be as a dad, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter. How do you want to be remembered? What do you want to be known for? How do you want to live your dash? As I was praying through the message this morning and praying through the altar time, I began to write, and I wrote this quote: don't let what has developed you up until now define what you will be. Don't let what has developed you until now define how you will be. I want you to know there's still hope for you to write your dash. You don't have to be defined. I was at breakfast yesterday with somebody new to the church, and I just took him to breakfast and said, hey, tell me your story. I want to know what brought you to here. And he shared some heartbreaking things that had happened in his life and things I didn't know and brought him to here. And I said, man, let me just tell you something. God has put you on my heart, and I want you to know, I didn't even know your story, but I've been praying that God does some miracles in your life and that you're an example of what God can do with any one of us. Don't let what has developed you, the good or the bad, that has brought you right here, it doesn't have to define who you are. Maybe you have some mistakes, some failures. I want you to know those don't have to define what your dash is going to be remembered for. In your notes, you see I wrote some, as I began to just go through scripture and think about some people in the Bible that were known for one thing and maybe it changed, or maybe their life ended in that sense. I began to write some, maybe Adam. When we think about Adam, probably this isn't going to be on the tombstone, but we think of Adam, you know, Adam and Eve, failure, bringing sin into the world. You think about Noah, how patient he was, how faithful he was to build the ark, even in persecution and nobody understanding, but he had faith. We also know he failed and he made some mistakes, but he'll be known for that faith. Enoch, I love Enoch. He was known as somebody who what? Walked with God. How would you like that on your tombstone? One who walked with God. Enoch. Abraham, probably known father of faith, but also somebody who didn't trust God all the time and sometimes lied to keep the promise alive and even did things his own way. But he's known as the father of faith, the dash. Joseph. Maybe on his tombstone would be dreamer. And God's favor was upon Joseph through it all. He did the right thing, and sometimes it worked out for his good and sometimes it set him back, but God was so faithful. But I think what Joseph should be remembered for is the two names he gave his son. You can write this reference right next to Joseph. Genesis 41, verse 50 says, before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh because it means it is because God has made me forget all my troubles. A God who helps me forget. The second son he named Ephraim. It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of suffering, forgetful of the pain and the suffering and the difficulty, and fruitful. Man, Joseph, he lived his dash. Hey, David, we've been talking about David for a few weeks, David and Goliath. David was known probably on his tombstone, the dash, a man after what? God's own heart. What a description. We also know him as a man who oversaw a murder, a man who committed adultery, a man who failed several times, and yet he was known as a man after God's own heart. There's still help, hope for you that it doesn't have to define you. How about Joshua? Boy, I was reading through Joshua recently. Write this reference down. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Joshua's at the end of his life. Kind of a message like this. Some final words. What he wants to leave with the people. And Joshua tells the people, hey, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods and the idols and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether it's the God of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua lived his dash. Caleb, you can write this reference, Numbers 14, verse 24. Here's what God said about Caleb. Wouldn't you love for this spoke over you? But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Judas, man, somebody who betrayed God. He couldn't get past the failure of the event and goes and hangs himself. His dash. Peter, another dash where he didn't betray, but he denied. That could have been what he was known for, but he was able to change his dash. Be encouraged today that your dash is not finalized yet. Peter goes out on the day of Pentecost filled with the Holy Spirit, turns everything around, begins to preach. Souls are saved, lives are changed. He goes out and spreads the gospel, and we know him completely different. This next one, Barnabas, is special to me. Barnabas, his actual name is Joseph, but the apostles changed his name to Son of Encouragement because he was such an encourager. And listen to this reference, Acts 11, 24. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Encourager, good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Dad, I've never told you this, but I have written in my Bible that that text is what I'm going to speak at your funeral. I know we're talking about funerals and death. A good man, encourager, full of the Spirit, full of faith, and many people came to know Christ because of you. Barnabas. Paul, he was Saul. He says, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the worst of the worst, but I had an encounter with Christ. My name was changed. I brought the gospel all over the world. And Paul, we're going to read his words in just a moment in our text. How can you make a list of people living their dash without talking about Jesus? John 17, 4, you can write that reference next to Jesus. Here's what he said to God. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you brought me to do. You remember Jesus on the cross? What did he say? It is finished. What if at the end of our life, our dash could be, God, I did what you put me here on this earth to do. I accomplished, I finished your work. Hebrews 11, 1 through 40. I'm not going to read it this morning. It lists a ton of people, same kind of thing. They live their dash fully. I encourage you this week, take some time. Hebrews 11, 1 through 40. We kind of call it the Faith Hall of Fame. People that live their life and live their dash. But I want to read this morning our remaining time together. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. It's Paul. He's at the end of his life. He has run with perseverance. He has finished his race. And here's what he writes. He gets to write his own funeral message right here. He says, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. At the end of my life, I say, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Will you take just a moment and pray with me? Lord, as we look at this passage over just the remaining few moments we have, Lord, may you challenge from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, to live our dash in such a way that would honor you, to live our dash in such a way that would make an eternal difference. Lord, to live our dash with all that we have as we run with perseverance. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, this passage in mind, I just want to give you three thoughts. Number one, you have to prepare for the departure. Prepare for the departure. Paul says, it's time. The time has come for my departure. And this imagery that he uses is a ship that's about to leave the port. And if you don't make it in time, it's going to leave you. How many of you have ever taken a cruise? Anybody ever taken a cruise? How many have ever seen a cruise turn around and come back and get those that are late? You ever seen that? No. Maybe you've flown before, and if you miss that gate and that gate closes, that door closes, it's over. That's the imagery, the word choice that Paul uses here. We took a cruise a few years back as a family over Thanksgiving, and my sister and her kids, my parents, me and my kids, and we packed, we prepared for the departure. We got to Galveston on time. We drug all of our stuff up to the gate and began to go through security. As I'm setting my bag on the thing where they scan it and look through it, I realized something. This backpack was my hunting backpack. Yeah, you kind of know where this is going, right? I set it down, it's going across, and I go, oh no. I've put stuff in there, so I know it's safe for the most part, but I didn't check every pocket, and it goes through, and all of a sudden that person, like you're looking at them, they look at you, and oh no, she gets on the phone, sir, step aside. My family, being the loving family that they are, got their stuff and headed on down the concourse. And, they're on the ship waving at me, drinking their Coke. And here I am. They call the police. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to miss my cruise. I'm going to have to tell the church on Sunday I got arrested. This is not good. She says, sir, can I check your bag? Yes, ma'am. There's like my Bible and my Bible. There's other stuff in there. And so she gets to one pocket, opens it up, and pulls out this little rusty, corrosive-looking bullet. Thinking, oh no, family still raving, they're just having a blast. I'm going to prison. And so my dad comes back and begins, yeah, he's a good guy, sometimes disobedient. You can punish him if you want to, but he's good. And dad begins to talk, and finally they look at the bullet and go, all right, sir, we're going to have to keep this. Try not to bring any bullets anymore when you travel. And we can tell how corrosive this is, that this is, 10, 15 years old. And so be on your best behavior the rest of the cruise. Yes, ma'am. So preparing for your departure, I finally was prepared and I got to go on and enjoy the cruise. Paul reminds us here, I am ready. The time has come for my departure. Can I tell you this morning from somebody? I know we have other pastors here that have done funerals, and can I just prepare you a little bit? I know that some of you are like, this is the weirdest sermon I ever heard. This is morbid. Prepare. The practical things. Hey, make it easy on your family. Make a will. If there's people counting on you, go out today. Get some life insurance. It's cheap. Maybe some of you hear something practical. It's kind of weird. Plan your funeral. Maybe there's a note on your phone of your favorite scriptures, favorite quotes, or maybe some songs that are singing that could make a difference around them. Just a practical prepare. 100% we said earlier that it's chance that it's coming. Prepare for it. Maybe more importantly, though, than those steps is to have no regrets. Prepare for it by having no regrets. I sit around families all the time that regret. I wish I would have said. I wish I would have done. I know Mike works in hospice, and a lot of times in those hospice final moments, there's regrets there. Can I challenge you to live your dash with no regrets? I'm going to have to talk about you at your funeral, and I'm going to have to prepare. Please don't make me lie. I don't want to stand up here and lie before God. I mean, that's not, you're nodding your head. There's times we not lie, but we've had to tell a story. I don't know. Kids today, there's no difference between lying and story. I just want to tell you that. But live that dash so that the pastor doesn't have to lie. Live that dash so that your family doesn't have to die. I meet with families and, hey, tell me about so-and-so. And it'll be like, well, he was a good, he's a good Dallas Cowboy fan. Okay, that's good. We'll work with that. Have no regrets. Live that life. Live that dash in a way that you have no regrets. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus says this. You're at the altar and you remember you have ought against your brother. You remember you have some issues with your brother. Leave the altar. Go take care of it. and then come back. The altar. This is the place we come and we get saved, touched by God, experience His presence. And Jesus said, leave that to go take care of. Maybe today there's somebody that you need to make a phone call to. Maybe there's somebody today that you need to forgive. Unforgiveness, one of my favorite quotes on unforgiveness, it's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. It affects us. Don't have any regrets. Is there somebody that you need to forgive? Is there somebody that you need to ask for forgiveness? Live that dash to where there's no regrets. Jesus is the ultimate example. Remember what he said on the cross? People that have insulted him, beaten him, mocked him. You know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Maybe this message is just about restoring some relationships. Maybe this message today is about living the dash with no regrets. Number two, Paul says, I prepared for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. So number two, I want to challenge you. As you live your dash, fight for what matters. How many know there's a lot of fighting going on in life that doesn't really matter? A few weeks ago, my mom talked on Mother's Day, and my sister and I were sitting back there looking at each other so nervous about what she was going to say that I told my kids, I'm so sorry for every story I've ever told on you. But I have four kids. They always give me sermon material, and I thank them for that right now. Yesterday, two boys were playing video games. That seemed like great. School is out. Summer's here. They're playing video games. This is a wonderful moment. Sitting on the couch laughing. Quickly, it turned into World War III as one kid got upset with the other one about, well, you attacked him first or you scored the goal when I wanted to. I don't even know what the game was, but I remember saying, boys, it doesn't really matter. It's a game. Just enjoy being together. How many know sometimes we fight over things that don't really matter? And they separate relationships. I mean, how dare someone sit in your seat today? It's yours, right? How dare somebody take the last white chocolate mocha from the Connections Cafe? Things we sometimes fight over, I know they're bigger than that. But they don't really matter. I want to challenge you to fight for the things that matter. Fight for righteous things. Stand up for the things that matter. Fight for your relationships. Do whatever it takes to make those godly, life-giving relationships. And fight for your purpose. Why? What's the dash for? What did God put you here? Fight for that. I told you at the beginning of the year, here was our theme, that throughout this year, we were going to keep going back to it. And my prayer is that at the end of the year, every person that's been a part of our services over the year will still be running with perseverance. That nobody gave up. Life didn't get so difficult that they quit running and gave up, but they ran with perseverance. It means fighting when you're weary. It means fighting when you're exhausted. It means fighting when somebody told me this morning, it seems like I can't catch a break. Everything seems against me. Keep running. Know that you're fighting the good fight. You're fighting for what matters. And then number three, long for eternal things. Paul said, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, but not only to me, but also all those at WFA who have longed for his appearing. The Bible, in case you didn't know and you've never read it, it does not quote WFA. I added that part, just pure honesty. Number three, long for eternal things. My wife and I we're packing up this week. We move next week around the corner, bigger house for our added growing family. And so we've been packing, we've been doing all this. And the only thing that's kind of kept us from going crazy is in 2 weeks is our 19th anniversary. I do the math to make sure. 19th anniversary, and we're celebrating. We planned a short little trip, just a stay down at Galveston to see the beach. And several times over the last few days, we said, if we can just survive till that car pulls out of the driveway, we can make it. We are longing, this word, longing for this trip. And that's what Paul is saying here, longing for heaven. In fact, the original Greek word, I don't think I've ever looked it up. It's interesting. Agape, love looking to eternity, love in your heart. You just love the thought, Paul says, for all those who are loving, longing, looking, expecting, can't wait for his appearing. Long for eternal things. Let your dash be about eternal things. Let your dash be about looking for heaven, waiting for God to return, living for eternity, making a difference, sharing Christ as many people as you can. A life, a legacy like this that's filled with pages of lives that are changed. And there's way more stories that could be in here. She just had to limit it. Live your dash to make a difference. With every breath you have, who could you impact today? Who could you impact tomorrow? Who could you impact next week, next month? Long for eternal things. As I am, Pastor Brian, I don't know if you're coming back up or you have some music planned, but if you're coming up, come on. As I end this morning, one of my favorite stories, I've shared it many times, if you've heard it, it bears repeating here, about somebody who had the opportunity to change what he was known for. Shared this story all the way back 20 years ago and have been sharing it ever since. The man's name was Alfred Nobel. He was a Swedish chemist, and he came up with the chemistry that made dynamite, TNT, and he created it for good, to help things, if somebody was trapped in a building or needed demolished so that they could build something new. That was his heart. But along the way, obviously, dynamite was used for destruction and death, and his legacy was creating. In fact, they called him Doctor of Death. His brother passed away one weekend. This is in the early 1900s. And he, the next morning, picked out the newspaper and read the obituary that was supposed to be for his brother, but they wrote it for him. And as he's reading that, you can imagine getting the opportunity to read what you'll be remembered for. His whole legacy, his whole dash, was called Doctor of Death. How thousands and even eventually millions of people will lose their life because of this guy's greed. And he's reading this, just tears flowing down his face, brokenhearted about how he would be remembered. He decided in that moment, this is not going to be my legacy. This is not how I'm going to be remembered. I'm going to do everything I can to promote peace and impact and people's lives changed. Alfred Nobel went from the guy that's known as producing, creating dynamite to the guy who invented and today to remind you that your dash is not finished. You're not done. You have the opportunity to change how you'll be known as a spouse, how you'll be known as a parent, how you'll be known as a child, how you'll be known as a worker, how you'll be known as a minister, how you'll be known as a Christian. Today on Memorial Day weekend, I want to just challenge you to reflect, to think on how you're living your dash. Will you bow your heads with me? God, I pray all over this room, the same kind of reflecting, same kind of evaluating, the same kind of thought process, Lord, I've been on these last few weeks since Luis's funeral. God, I pray that all of us would take this moment to reflect. Lord, to know that what has made us up until this moment doesn't have to define us. God, I pray that you give hope to every person. And today, may there be lasting change. From this day, may we change some things to know how we'll be remembered. May we live our dash for all that matters. May we live our dash for eternal things. God, I want to live what Jesus said. Lord, I have finished my work. Lord, I want to say what Paul said. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith till the final breath. And now, here is my reward. Today, I want to challenge you to live your dash till you hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter in." Will you stand with me all over this room? And as we close, will you just bow your heads? Will you take just a moment to reflect, to think, to ponder your dash? Maybe you're here today and you say, "Pastor, what I think what I've identified the most with is that which has developed me doesn't have to define me. Today, my dash may be known as some things, some labels, some failures, but I don't want it to be what defines me. I want to leave here living my dash in such a way that it changes everything. How many are here today and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to live my dash. Yeah, God, all over this room, let some new dashes, Lord, be written. God, all over this room, what has developed us, good or bad, will not define us. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, what I can relate most to is a broken relationship. Some things I need to say, some things I don't want to have any regrets. And today, living my dash means making a relationship right, doing what I can. Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's restoration. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's receiving some forgiveness that has been asked for. God, I don't want to have any regrets in the form of a relationship. If that's you, Pastor, pray for me in this area that I'll have an open door to have no regrets in a relationship. Will you raise your hand? God, all over this room, you see those hands. Open some doors. Change some hearts. God, let us be people of grace. Let us extend the same grace that you've given to us. God, I pray, open some doors. And last, you're here today, maybe the most important part of living your dash. You're here and for you to prepare for eternity, for you to prepare for your departure, the most important thing you can do is start a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today's a day of saying, God, I repent. I ask you to forgive me. I thank you that on a Memorial Day weekend when we're celebrating some that gave their life for our freedom, that we recognize that Jesus Christ gave his life for our eternal freedom. And today, to prepare for your departure, the first step, the most important step, the eternal step, is to invite Jesus Christ into your life. The Bible says all we have to do is to admit, to repent, and invite, to believe that Jesus Christ gave his life for you. And so maybe you're here this morning and you need to start that relationship, or you need to make that relationship current. You need to make things right with Jesus. If that's you and you say, Pastor, pray for me today. I need to prepare spiritually for my departure. Will you just lift your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else join these four? I need to prepare right where you are. You raised your hand. Will you take just a moment and we just pray a simple prayer? We pray a prayer that goes something like this. Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me today. I believe that you gave your life. You died on a cross. You rose again so that I can have hope today. And Lord, I receive that gift of salvation. Lord, come and help me. Come and help me to live that dash differently from this day forward. Help me to develop an everyday relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's how we're going to end this morning. They're going to final song. I think this is a message of reflection. And I just want to encourage every person before you leave, will you take just a moment and we reflect on your dash? Maybe that's coming to the altar, kneeling and just asking God to help you live that dash to the fullest. Maybe it's standing there and singing these words, whatever it may be. Will you take just a moment before you leave? And will you commit to living your dash to the fullest?